I'm Neil Wilkins, and welcome to the Mindful Living Show. In this section, we are going to explore what we mean by the term self-awareness and think about how getting to know yourself a little better can begin to help you manage situations that occur in your life. Self-awareness is your ability to be able to focus on your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and behaviours and understand how others perceive you. Being self-aware means you're willing and able to listen to your inner voice and honestly and openly have internal conversations with yourself. If you're self-aware, you'll be able to accept yourself as you are and listen to how you think and feel without judging yourself. You'll be able to align your behaviours with your values and show consistency to yourself and others in your everyday life. Self-awareness is sometimes talked about with emotional intelligence. This is your ability to monitor and accept your emotions and thoughts throughout your day. It can also relate to how you spot behaviours and emotions in others, and we'll explore that a little later. It's important to understand the difference between internal and external worlds. So we're going to explore some of your values, personality traits and preferences to help you realise what's inside you and that you have some control over, and what's external and outside of your control. Of course, what goes on around you is not you, it's your view and your perception of the outside world. Very often we take on board in ourselves the things that are happening around us, other people's emotions, fears and opinions. We do this because we're innately programmed to try to fit in and be accepted by others. Our internal world, our thoughts, feelings, behaviours, these are ours and we have control over them. Everything else is in the outside world, and these are things over which we have little, partial or sometimes no control. To become self-aware, it's essential that we recognise the difference between our internal world and our external world. We may become stressed by trying to exert or gain power in our external world, whereas the only things we can really fully control are in our internal world. Being out of control can often lead to feeling stressed. So stress doesn't come from the outside world, it's our response to the outside world. We're not in a stressful job or situation, we're feeling stressed from our perception of the job or situation. Most of our responses to the external world are based upon the fight, flight or freeze response. From nature, this is designed to protect us. We're now going to think about exploring how we can begin to listen to ourselves more effectively and to allow ourselves time and space to self-listen. This is one of the most important starting points in recognising and managing a stress response. To improve our self-awareness, we first need to commit to giving ourselves time, space and attention. We call this taking time for myself. Now you might recognise this as a meditation. Meditation is a practice where you can simply focus your mind on a particular object, thought or activity to train your attention and awareness in order to achieve a mentally clear or emotionally calm and stable state. The art of self-listening helps you to focus on just one thing at a time, relaxing you physically, settling your mind and preparing you for what you proactively decide to do next. Self-listening is one of the very first steps in tuning your attention into your heart coherence, where all of your most powerful, important decisions and choices are made. When we become good at listening to ourselves, we begin to align our thoughts, feelings and behaviours with what we really need and what makes us happy. So in this section, we need to explore what we mean by taking accountability and responsibility. We're going to explore the art of taking accountability for your life and the world around you, being consistently responsible for everything you decide to do in your life, in each moment of every day. Taking accountability is then, in theory, a simple act of owning and being responsible for everything that happens around you, in both work and personal life. Being accountable means that your situation and the outcome of all actions and decisions are yours, no matter who else is involved and what you've asked them to do. being accountable and responsible means that you never look to offload something onto someone else when you fear that the outcome might not be quite what you're looking for, and especially when the outcome is not what was planned. So responsibility can be described quite succinctly with the phrase, "The buck stops with me." In work, of course, if you have a line manager, it's not they who are responsible for what you do, how you do it, and the outcomes. It's you. Your line manager's responsibility is simply to support you with the resources you need, the time, the budget, the people, the skills to accomplish your goals. It's your responsibility to be accountable for the process of moving towards achieving your goals and how well you reach your targets. In work, an employee who is willing and able to step up focuses on doing what's best for the business and those around them. They won't presume that results and outcomes are owned only by their management. So being accountable and responsible is perceived by others as a strong, assured and confident mindset, and will open up new opportunities for those who choose to embrace this way of working and living. There are four simple steps you can use to begin to feel responsible and accountable. Step one, decide on a personal mission statement. This could be something like, "Today I endeavour to serve others, give my time and expertise selflessly, and work hard towards achieving the tasks I've set for myself." Step two, create micro goals. These are small steps you're making in line with your personal mission statement. It's sensible, really, to have 5 or 6 micro goals in every day rather than a very long list of actions, because this will ensure that you take responsibility for achieving them. Realistically, make your micro goals SMART: specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. Step three, take one step at a time. Stressful reactions mostly occur when we feel out of balance and out of control. So take responsibility for doing one task or micro goal at a time. No amount of pressure from others should distract you from doing and achieving one thing at a time. Of course, this may take some negotiation of priorities with those around you, so remember to communicate what you're doing, when and why. Step four, reward yourself. With accountability comes success, so reward yourself when you feel like you've done a good job, made a significant difference to someone else's life, and stayed true to your personal mission statement. So why would we accept just what is? Well, it's really important, because if we can replace success and failure with just what is, we begin to get the control, the accountability and the responsibility we're describing. So in this section, we'll focus on recognizing everything as simply being what it is. If we remove the storytelling that we allow in our minds, we'll see things as they are rather than interpreting them in ways that dramatize, suit our situation, or attempt to manipulate outcomes. Think about everything you see, feel, hear, and smell. Everything you sense is from your own perception. These are your senses, and you interpret these things from your own unique position in the world. So then, of course, it's important to take our interpretation out of the equation to really sense things just as they are. For example, when you look at something, you'll see it from where you're standing or sitting, and nobody else will see it from that exact position. And because we perceive colours slightly differently, we'll see it in our own unique colour, even though those around you may also call what they see green, red or blue. So whilst we look at the thing and perceive it subtly differently, the thing is, it's still one thing. It is what it is. So if we practice taking our own unique interpretation of things and just ease into them, we can free ourselves of the storytelling and accept things just for what they are. This approach for things can be also used for situations, because in every situation we have a unique perspective. So there's no right or wrong, there are simply perspectives of situations. People often perceive stress because they identify closely with a situation that they or others think of as having failed. Again, if we're able to distance ourselves from an outcome and see it simply as an outcome, then it's just what it is. This isn't, of course, to say that we're going to simply be allowing or encouraging failure or not caring about situations we feel have or will fail. We're simply saying that a set of actions and activities led to a situation that is considered to have failed. If failure is based on an outcome, then you are not personally a failure. You simply failed at the activity. Now, this is a simple and yet profound difference, and particularly important when it comes to managing stress. It's important to think about that sentence slowly and repeat it maybe a number of times. If failure is based on an outcome, then you are not a failure. You simply failed at that activity. Too often we feel stressed because we align ourselves with the outcome of a situation. Sometimes we also preempt the outcome of a situation and tell ourselves stories about what might go wrong and the difficulty of the situation. And of course, this in itself may increase our perception of being stressed. So we've already understood that we can take control over our attention and how, by listening to ourselves, we can perceive the difference between the outer and inner world. It's also clear that we can disassociate ourselves from the outcomes, whether they're positive or perceived as failures. So we're beginning to see that where we put our attention is where and how we will perceive things. A key additional point here is that we can, as human beings, only focus on one thing at a time. There's actually no such thing as multitasking. Even those who believe they are multitasking are actually rapidly switching between one thing and another one thing. And this is a vital component in our understanding of focus, because at every moment in every day, as we make decisions, choosing where to focus or not, we're able to control the ebb and flow of everything we perceive in our life. So then we also have a choice in how we describe to ourselves and to others where we're focusing. An example can be if we choose to focus on wellness rather than illness. The situation may be the same, but the words we use to frame that situation will have a profound effect on the way we perceive, think, and feel about that situation. Think of the word disease and break it down. Dis-ease. In other words, lack of balance. Disease or dis-ease is often referred to as illness. By reframing how we feel about an illness and instead using the word wellness, we may be able to rebalance the dis-ease and ease our situation. The power of words, both in the internal storytelling and how we communicate with others, will have a significant effect on our perception of our wellness and how we manage and cope with stress or stress perception in our everyday lives.